I almost didn't come up here. I was about to start a devotional over there with Tabby. She just came out and she was just like, "Can you read this to me?" And I was like, "Well, it's a devotional book, I guess." So I almost preached to them. But I'm excited for today. I'm excited for what God is doing in all of us and what God is going to be doing through our church. Amen. Amen. Well, if I have to give my sermon a title today, if you get the email announcements, you already saw it there, but my title for my sermon is called Faith for the Impossible. Faith for the Impossible. So if you have your Bible, which I pray you do, or you have an app, if you can open your Bible to 2 Kings chapter 4. 2 Kings chapter 4. And once you're there, you can say amen. 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 I will start reading. I read in the NLT. One day, the window of a member of the group of prophets came to Elijah and cried out, "My husband who served you is dead, and you know he feared the Lord. But now a creditor has come threatening to take my two sons as slaves. What can I do to help? What can I do to help you?" Elijah asked. "Tell me, what do you have in your house?" "Nothing at all, except a flask of olive oil," she replied. And Elijah said, "Borrow as many empty jars as you can from your friends and your neighbors. Then go into your house with your sons and shut the door behind you. Pour olive oil from your flask into your jars, setting each one aside. Setting each one aside when it's filled." So she did as she was told. Her sons kept bringing jars to her, and she filled them one after another. Soon every container was full to the brim. Bring me another jar," she asked one of her sons. "There aren't any more," he told her, and then the olive oil stopped flowing. When she told the man of God what had happened, he said to her, "Now sell the olive oil and pay your debts. You and your sons can live on what is left over." I like reading miracles from the Old Testament for two reasons. It shows that God is the same God through the entire Bible. It shows the consistency of the Father throughout the entire Bible. So it allows us to build our faith and trust wholeheartedly that he is still able to do such a thing today. Amen?
Amen.
Have you ever looked at your situation and thought, "I don't have enough. I don't have enough money. I don't have enough strength. I don't have the answers. I don't have enough resources. I don't have enough time." Many of us believe God can do miracles, right? Many of us believe that God can do miracles, that Jesus Christ can do miracles. All of us believe that, correct? But we struggle to believe that he can do miracles for what we have. Some of us struggle to believe that Jesus can still perform miracles today because we think that our circumstance should change instantly. But that's not how it works. That's not how faith works. You see, in this widow in 2 Kings, her husband had died and she was drowning in debt. Creditors were coming to take her sons away. That's how much money she owed. She owed so much money that she had to pay with her sons. She had no solution. She had no backup plan, no way out. Yet, what looked like the end of her story became the beginning of God's miracle. Because God specializes in doing the extraordinary with ordinary resources. So my first point is this. Faith begins when you bring God what you have. Faith begins when you bring God what you have. When Elijah asked the widow, "What do you have in your house?" her response was interesting. She said, "Nothing at all." Nothing at all. That was her first response. That was her first instinct to say, "Nothing at all." And then after she said nothing, she said, "Well, except small jars of oil." She called that little thing that she had nothing. So often we as people so focus on the abundance of others that we don't focus on the blessing that we have in our hand. That moment, she called her blessing, that little jar of oil, nothing. Have you done that yourself? Have you called the home that you are living in nothing because the person next to you has a bigger house? Have you called the car that gets you from point A to point B nothing when there are people out there taking the bus or walking everywhere? Have you, and this is something that my son does all the time. He says, we have nothing to eat in the house when there's so much food. I'm like, brother, you cannot repeat this stuff in school because they will call child services on me. You have food. He's 6 years old and he says nothing already. I'm like, okay, like this world. He's six and he's already complaining about not having anything. But the thing she called nothing, God called enough. The thing that she called nothing, God called enough. Like I said, many times we focus on what we lack, but God focuses on what we have so that he can bless us. Moses only had a staff. David only had a sling. The disciples only had 5 loaves and 2 fish. And the widow only had a small jar of oil. Yet God used all of that. God can bring something out of nothing. Amen? God is not limited to what you lack. God often starts with what we already have in our hand in order to create a miracle. Sometimes it's just a question of understanding what you are carrying in order to fully walk in the blessing that the Lord wants to give you. Your miracle may be already in your hands. Your miracle may be already in your house. Just like this woman. Her miracle was already in her house. That small jar of oil was her miracle. Think about it for a second. Think about that mustard seed that we have, that we every preacher uses as an illustration. That mustard seed that is so small, so tiny, can grow to be so huge and so large. Remember, the blessing that the Lord has given you is the thing that propels the miracle in your life. Amen. My second point is this, and I'm moving fast because I want to get to a place where we have a time to pray for our miracle. My second point is this: faith obeys before it understands. Elijah told her, "Go borrow empty jars." Imagine how strange that sounds. She needs money, but the man of God told her to go get jars from her neighbors. She needs debt relief, and he told her to go get empty jars from her neighbor. From first glance and from first hearing it, that sounds so dumb. But if you really think about it, he told her go get something to collect your miracle with. You may not understand what the Lord may be telling you at the moment, but through obedience, you will see the larger picture as it develops. He was telling her to go get jars so the overflowing of this miracle can come. Faith obeys before you understand it. As strange as the command of the Lord may be, if you have faith in Him, you should do it. I had a friend. I go to this one home church on Thursdays when I'm available. And one of the things, this man is a very prophetic man of God. His name is Nate. And he was sharing a testimony. And in his testimony, he was saying like, hey, I woke up and the Lord came and during my prayer time and spoke to me. And he said, hey, Nate, after work, I want you to go to this Panera that is in this distance for no reason. And he was just like, God, I'm going to be tired after work. I don't want to do all that. And he did it. He was just like, okay, he went. And when he got there, he had no idea what he was doing. So he just got a drink and he just sat there. And then the next assignment was this. He said, the Lord spoke to him and said, I will reveal to you who you need to minister to. So he was like, okay, how will I know? He's like, y'all just know. All right. So he sat there with his drink, just there. And then one of the workers came to just clear some trash. And then that light came from the Lord that he's like, it's him. And he went to him and started talking to him. And then when he went to find out his name was also Nate. So God wanted him to minister to Nate. And he prophesied over him and ministered to him. And he got that worker got super encouraged. Brendan, do you remember if he got saved or not?
Nate did not mention that.
He didn't mention that. He was there, so he's my witness. I'm not making up this story.
I don't know if you mentioned this at the very beginning. All Nate did at the very beginning of the day was, Lord, let me do your will.
Yep. In the beginning of the day, Nate started off with, Lord, let me do your will. Sometimes faith needs to obey before you understand it. Nate was able to be an encouragement. Nate was able to get this person, this other Nate, an encounter with a living God. Because he obeyed where he didn't understand. And it's the same thing with this widow. She was told to gather containers. God's instructions don't always make sense before the miracle. Faith is not understanding everything. Faith is obeying when you don't understand everything. Imagine her perspective of knocking on her neighbor's doors and asking people, hey, where are your jars and can I borrow them? And her saying, I don't know yet, but God asked me to get them. Imagine that. We have debt. And then the Lord tells you, hey, go get a bucket from your neighbors. And then you go there and you're like, hey, can I please borrow your buckets? And everyone's very aware that you're in debt. And then that's the one thing you ask for. Everyone's going to be thinking you're scheming something. Or everyone's going to be thinking like this person's up to something that's not right. But she chose to put herself in a situation where she understood that being obedient to God may look weird to others, but to you, if you are fully assigned and fully devoted to the Father, those things won't look weird. Walk in strength, walk in faith, and understand that faith is obeying even when you don't understand everything. Faith obeys before there's evidence. Obedience opens doors for the miracles. Sometimes the miracles start with a simple step of faith. If you wait until everything makes sense, you'll miss what faith is about. If you wait for everything to make sense, then you'll miss what faith is about. I love watching my children display their faith, 6 and 3. I love watching Levi pray for something with fully expectance that he's going to receive it. Joelle's not there yet. She's 3. But you can see her faith in action when she is hurting with something. And her first instinct isn't, "Daddy, can you kiss my boo-boo?" It's, "Daddy, can you pray for it? Mommy, can you pray for it?" That's her first instinct. It's not kiss it. It's pray for it. Because we have taught her. And she knows that if she prays, God's going to answer. Like Levi, for example, recently. And this is reason. And I think it's incredible to have a fresh testimony every single time. I think the word testimony to some degree has been kind of confused. And we think it testimony, we think it a salvation rather than what daily thing the Lord is continuously doing. Our testimony is what God is doing continuously. Not what God has done. Yes, it is what God has done. Let me clarify that. But it's what he's doing continuously. What has he done for you recently? How have you sought him recently? How has your faith been challenged recently? So recently, like I was saying, my son, he'd had a tryout for a soccer team. He's 6 years old. He's getting to the point where it's getting more expensive for him to play soccer. It used to be $100. Now, because he's getting better, you have to start paying more. I know. Yeah. Weird. Now, because he's getting better, you have to pay more so he can be in a better program. But he had a tryout for this team. It was an academy team that if you get into it, essentially it starts giving you like they give you like your soccer, USA soccer card so that you can start, you know, developing in the US program and stuff like that. It's really cool. I was really hoping, I was like, please don't get in. It was like $1,200 that I gotta pay. I was like, please God. But he went, he tried out, and he got in. He got in, it was a 2-day tryout. And then the first day, he was like, I was like, hey, because I was legitimately, I was trying to do everything for him not to get in. So I was like, hey, coach, unfortunately, Levi's not going to be able to come for the second day of tryout. And the coach was like, oh, don't worry about it. He's in. I'm like, but the day before, Levi sat down with me and we just prayed. We prayed because this is something he really wanted. He loves soccer and he loves playing with his friends so much. He has 2 best friends who are twins and he loves playing with them more than anything. When I want to ground him, I tell him, you're not going to play soccer. But we sat down before, the night before, and we just prayed. And he prayed for like 3 minutes, you know. He's 6. He doesn't have that endurance to go for like 20. But he prayed for a couple minutes and just asked the Lord that he really wants to play soccer with his friends, that he wants to get better, that he wants to do this because he really enjoys it. And he was just praying like a child, and I was just encouraging him, like, okay, you're doing great, honey. And I just and I prayed with him. I agreed with him. And then the next morning, he had a nice little breakfast. And then he called his Uncle Jeff, who's a worship pastor at Christ Chapel. And then we prayed with Uncle Jeff too. And after he said amen, we got off a speaker and he said, you know, if he makes it, you're going to have to pay a lot of it. I was like, I know. Let's pray separately. No, but I want what's best for him. And he really wanted that. And then the moment he got that email saying like, oh, congratulations, Levi made it. His first reaction wasn't, great, I did fantastic. His first reaction, like, Daddy, Jesus answered my prayer. Faith, that type of faith, is the faith that we need to walk with. Where we pray so effectively that there is no doubt in our heart that he will answer. Moments like this, moments like that for me, are so key for his development as a Christian, because there are moments where his prayers are not going to be answered right away, those moments where they were answered right away are going to be the thing that allows him to stay strong and wait. Just like this woman. She was obedient. She listened to the men of God. Levi, at this moment, doesn't have that man of God because his relationship is strictly Jesus and him. I'm just there. But sometimes we pray for God to move while leaving no room for him to move. We ask for a blessing, but we refuse to be obedient. We ask for a miracle, but we refuse to fully surrender. Faith, true faith, creates space for God to work. This woman who was told to go get jars, went and got the jars, the empty jars from all her neighbors. And by doing so, she created space for God to work. Those jars created space for the oil to keep flowing. Those jars created space for the miracle to continue to come. That's what we need to do. As we pray, we create space. As we develop our faith, we create space. Amen. So this is my fourth point. I think this is my fourth point. In Jesus' name, let it be my fourth point. The miracle was bigger than the survival. I jumped a point. Did I? Yes, I jumped a point. Thank you, y'all. My third point. Faith makes room for the miracle. Like I was saying, the Bible says that once she got the jars, that she shut the door and began pouring. Yeah, I definitely skipped it. And as she began pouring, the oil kept flowing. After the obedience, there's action. Jar after jar, container after container, every vessel was filled. Then something amazing happened. And I like to look at this in two different ways. The oil stopped only when there were no more jars. I like to look at this in two ways. The oil stopped only because she ran out of things to fill those jars with. But also the oil stopped because her need was met, and then more. See, God is willing to bless you with as much as you give him. If she would have had more jars, they would have been filled too. So often we, as humans, are so pushed down by our own imagination, our own faith. If you truly believe that God is a God that is a provider, Can he not provide and then some? This woman was able to receive enough oil. Not only to pay her debt, but in the Bible it says, now you and your sons can live on what is left over. Do you understand how much money that is? Now you and your sons can live off what is left over. She retired. Her sons retired. Like, her sons are good. Generational wealth was given by the Lord just through this one miracle. I want that miracle. I want that miracle not for me, but I want it for the church. I want it for this church. I want this church to have empty jars that are filled continuously. And I don't want to run out of jars. I want jars to continue to be filled. Not because I want this church to grow to 1,000, 2,000 or something like that. No, because I believe the heart that is behind this church is so pure and so rare to find. And I want you to think of this. In this miracle, the limitation wasn't on God's supplying the oil. The limitation was the availability and capacity in which she was able to receive the oil. God had more than enough oil. The question was, how much room was there for a miracle? God is willing to give us as much as we pray for, as much as needed, if and more. We only need to make him and give him the availability to do so. God's provision is greater than your need. God's supply is not running low, ever. The size of your problem does not intimidate God. The miracle stopped when faith stopped making room. Think about that. The miracle stops when faith stops making room. Sometimes we pray for God to move while leaving no room for him to move, like I said. Sometimes we ask for a blessing but refuse to be obedient. We ask for a miracle but we refuse to surrender. I said this. Faith creates space for God to work. So now my fourth point, now for real. The miracle was bigger than the survival. After the oil was sold, the debt was paid, God provided enough for her family to live on. God didn't just rescue her from a crisis. He provided for her future. God is not just the God of enough. He is the God of more than enough. God's miracles often exceed our expectations. How often have you put limitations on the power of the Lord? And it's very clear that we all understand that he is an all-powerful God, that he can do everything and anything he chooses to. But how often do you put limitations on him? By doubting that he can. There is a reason why it says in the Bible, and it emphasizes the power of the tongue, that we carry life and death in our tongue. And I learned this very recently. Even though it says that in the Bible, I'm a very image type of person. I need to see something to be able to understand it and truly believe it. So the practical example I can give you of that is this. When I was getting sick recently, very recently. Probably, no, in Jesus' name. But when I was getting sick recently, I shared it with one of these older ladies, who's an amazing person who walks very deep in the faith. And I was like, oh, I'm feeling sick. I'm feeling run down. I don't feel so good. She was just like, why do you keep saying that? I'm like, that's not right. I'm like, what do you mean? She's like, speak life over yourself. You can pray for you to be healed, but if you continue to say, I feel sick, then you're not really praying. You're speaking on one side of your mouth and something else is coming out of the other. You're being of two minds. If you are sick and you're praying for healing and then you keep saying, oh, I feel gross, I feel sick, then you're not going to get better. Speak life over your body. Remove that doubt and let faith take over. And then the moment I started doing that, the moment I started saying, I'm better now. God healed me. I'm better now. I'm walking that I'm better now. With it, the next day, I was feeling better. I felt great, and I was able to come to church. Praise God. The same faith that I said about Joelle, that her first instinct isn't to get a kiss from her mom and dad to make the boo-boo go away. Her first instinct is to be prayed because she knows prayer works. That's the thing that I see my daughter do constantly, but that's the thing that I doubt myself. Do not lose faith just because you put your own limitations on what God can do. Do not lose faith just because you think God can't do it for you. God has done it for many a people, and he will do it for you too. Amen? Amen. Amen. Can you bow your heads with me? And I want to give you 5 minutes. And I want you to think of the thing that you're believing God for. I want you to have faith for the thing that you are believing God for right now. And let's pray together. I'll give you time to pray, and then I'll pray by myself here as well. But I want that exercise. Because next time we meet, I want to hear testimonies of how the Lord has provided. I want faith to be the thing that propels this church. I want faith to be restored in this building. I want people to walk into this building with the expectation that the Lord is going to provide. I want people to be able to come and understand that New Covenant Fellowship provides for people. Not because we have the resources, but because we have Jesus. Because we have the Holy Spirit. So, Heavenly Father, I thank you in the name of Jesus for faith. God, I thank you for allowing us to live in a place where we are able to exercise our faith so abundantly, so excellently. And God, I pray in the name of Jesus that you remove any doubt, any lie from the enemy saying that you're not able to help me with my problem. God, I've been waiting for so long and it still hasn't happened. We remove those things in the name of Jesus and we say, God, let it be so. Let it be so. In Jesus' name, let it be so. We pray for the blood of Christ to fall over our minds, fall over our hearts, so that we'd be able to walk in faith like this widow did. And God, I pray in the name of Jesus that our faith makes room for your move, for your presence. Heavenly Father, we need you. We praise you. We adore you. In Jesus' name. Amen. You have 3 more minutes, church. Just pray amongst yourself. I'm still going to be praying. Amen. Amen, church. I want you to hold on to what you prayed for. Remember it. Because I'm fully expected. I'm fully expected. Amen. Amen. Well,